Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Stephen, before you play the tape, will you give us an introduction as to what we're about to hear?
This is an interview with two women whose grandmother was exhumed in 1993 as part of the High Park Magdalen Laundry exhumation. The first voice that you're going to hear is that of Marion Mead, and the second voice that you'll hear is that of Kathleen Flood. The interview was recorded over 16 years ago, and the quality of the sound may not be to the standard of what you would expect today. I just want to give you an insight into their story, their lives, and the circumstances that surrounded the exhumation that took place. So first of all, explain how your grandmother ended up in the Magdalen Laundry.
My granny was deaf and dumb, and that's why she was put in there, because she became pregnant on my mother. I don't know whether it was because the priest made her, or whether, I don't really know.
Whether it was the hospital.
We don't know. I remember two of my friends saying, that couldn't be your granny. They're over my house. You know, like, if you were in an institution like that, you were supposed to be mad. You're supposed to be... Really?
Your grandmother
met? No. The only thing that she couldn't do was talk. But knew, like, she could lip read. She was a brilliant dancer. She could dance from the sound of the music. You know, she used to tap dance. You know, we might give her maybe, it might be only a shilling and a couple of cigarettes. She had different kinds of names up in
the convent.
They either called her Jaya,
Bessie,
Jane, and her name was Elizabeth. It was Bessie when I was younger, then I went to Jaya when I was in my teens, and then I went to Jane. At least we got to know her granny, although she could never come out with us. You know, and we had only, say, from 3 o'clock to 5:30 every Sunday.
In 1993, there was an exhumation done on the bodies of the Magdalen women. What was the circumstances of you finding out about that?
Well, my grandmother was dead 10 years and we got told she died in January 1983. And then the bodies got exhumed in
September 1993. We were coming home from my ma's cousin's funeral, and we seen all the black cars going in to Glasnevin. And when we came back from the funeral, there was a big thing all that had been on the news about the bodies being exhumed from High Park. So we left the pub and we came down to, what's it, to Martins? We came down to Martins, and she found our sister, our own sister, and it was in that morning's paper too. We were phoned High Park Convent, and they said that they would have to send us out letters 2 years previous about the bodies getting exhumed. And we said we never got, and my dad didn't receive any letters. They never sent out a letter to say that they were exhuming the bodies. I don't know, we never seen it. My dad never seen it. And so from that, we got onto High Park and we told them that we wanted the body. They were saying that they'd need somebody to identify it now. You know, we said we don't care. My ma never had her in life, but she thought she could have buried her when she died. So that part kind of hurts us, you know, that kind of way.
And did you know that that was a communal grave for all the other Americans?
No, we didn't know. No.
And was there any markings to indicate that that was
a grave? No, there was only a cross.
A cross.
You know, a cross on it. There was no names or anything on it.
So you don't have many bodies actually under or over at that time.
And how far away was the Magdalen
graveyard.
You went into the convent, right? And when you went out the back, you turned left. And then it was a lovely garden. You know, there was a gate through it. You know, but they told us now any time that we wanted to go to see our grave, but we didn't know that she was, there was other people, in which I went up a few times. You know,
that gate was locked.
To get in, you could never get in. There was never anybody there to let you into the grave.
You're trying to say these people had nobody belong to them, that they never seen one of that family, let alone have any family. It was the idea of them telling the people out in the world, whatever they were trying to say, that these people had nobody belong to them. So my ma's mother now is actually buried on top of her daughter. Do you know?
That was my first time meeting a family that had a relative that was in a Magdalen laundry. And I think after meeting that family, I became more and more inquisitive as to, well, who are all these other women? So I wrote off to the relevant different departments to find out any information that they might have on the women. And the Department of Environment actually had sent out the entire list of women that were exhumed. And they had the state pathologist's report and everything. And I just couldn't believe that this is how these women were being remembered. The original license listed 133 names. Of these, 30 were not located. So there was 30 women in that mass grave that nobody knows who they were. And the nuns gave a list of women and said, these are the women that are in there. So they just made up the list. But an additional 32 remains were identified, which were not included in the license. So the 30 names that were never there, they now stumbled upon 30 more plus two, so we have 32, and they weren't even included in the license. And then 20 unmarked, unidentified remains were found, which then totaled 155 human remains.
Can I ask that you read out the list? I just think it's important that we know who these women are.
1970s, unknown. Exhumed at 6:45 p.m., 23rd of the 8th, 1993. 1960s, 1970s, unknown, unknown. Exhumed on the 24th of the 8th, 1993 at 11:30 a.m. 1900s, unknown, unmarked grave. Exhumed at 4:45 p.m. to 24th of the 8th, 1993. Unknown, exhumed on the 24th of the 8th, 1993, grave number 22. Unknown, possibly 1980s, grave number 29, 25th of the 8th, 1993, 12:10 a.m. exhumed. 1899, M of Faith, no skull found, exhumed on the 25th of the 8th, 1993. 1986, Jane Murphy, not marked on grave, exhumed on the 25th of the 8th, 1993, 5:10 p.m. 26th of the 8th, 1993, exhumed, grave number 40, unknown, no mark on grave. 26th of the 8th, 1993, grave number 41, 1968, unknown, no marked grave. 26th of the 8th, 1993, grave number 42, 1972, unknown, grave marked 1968. Maybe M of St. Teresa, grave number 44, exhumed on the 26th of the 8th, 1993. 1970, Catherine, 11th of the 5th, 1970, unmarked, BP found. Grave number 52, unknown. Grave number 54, 1975, unmarked,
breastplate found. You just feel disgusted, I think, by reading that. They didn't care. They did not care about these women. They didn't care what their name was. They didn't care when they were buried. They didn't care how they were buried. They didn't care how they were exhumed. They didn't care how they were going to be reburied. They just wanted, in my view, to get rid of the evidence, get rid of the story. Don't let anybody ask any questions, because there's nothing to see here. And there's just pages and pages and pages of that. And I think that's when I decided that I'm going all in on this. If I'm going to do a story about these women, then I need to find the women who are alive. And I'll do everything in my power to try and bring that story out so that everyone knows what happened to those women.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.